I'm just turning this on so it'll get going. And if you don't mind, just state your name and where you live.
My name is Verdi Pigman Conley. Mm-hmm. I live in Hyman, Box 17, mm-hmm. my address. I live with my sister, Alma mm-hmm. Pigman.
And now, Miss Conley, where did you grow up?
I grew up right here on this plantation where we are at the present time, mm-hmm. at Alma's home. Mm-hmm. This was my grandfather's, grandfather and grandmother's home. Mm-hmm. We lost our father when I was just 2 years old.
Of course.
And my mother came back here with us children, mm-hmm. the two of us. And we grew up here, lived here through high school. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when we went away, we were first back here and then away. And mm-hmm. but this has always been home to us.
Yeah.
And of course, Hyman Settlement School is a part of our
lives
and part of our home.
Mm-hmm. So it was you and your mother and your sister.
My sister.
Did you have any brothers or?
Didn't have any brothers.
Okay.
Just the family. We had, Mom had one brother and one sister that were here when she came back.
Mm-hmm.
And they were here for years after that, but
right.
we didn't have any of our own in our family.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have the records of when you graduated. You graduated in 1927.
That's right.
So that would have been... That period of high school would have been like after the First World War mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yes.
What was it like around here then, during that time growing up, during the war?
I don't know. Just all of each student, practically, that I knew around in the neighborhood, each family had farms, and so children helped do chores on the farms. Mm-hmm. And we all went to the little one-room school first, and then after we got to high school, we went to Hyman Settlement School.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everybody went to Hyman then.
Yeah.
I stayed 1 year in the settlement.
Did you?
But most of the time, we walked from home, or we stayed with relatives down mm-hmm. closer sometimes.
Yeah.
Down near the school.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long would it take you to get from here to school when you weren't living there on campus?
School took up at 8 o'clock back in those days,
uh-huh.
and we were sure that we were on the road from here by 7. Uh-huh. Mom always got us up early.
Yeah.
And usually we had a little time to play before, a little extra time to
yeah.
catch up on some studying or something uh-huh. when we got down there before the bell rang.
Yeah.
And of course we had to walk. We had to dodge the mud holes and and the wire fences. Sometimes we have to climb over and go through a field
really?
Rather than
oh,
through the road
mm-hmm.
because it was so, the water was up where the road was muddy.
Mm-hmm.
We had obstacles, but we made it to school every day.
Now, did your mother go to school?
You mean when she was young?
Yeah, when she was young, did she go to school?
Well, she went to just a country school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fine.
To the one-room school.
Mm-hmm.
We could see it from this house up the road here just a little ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where she went before she was married. And then she was married when she was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she came back home, she's just in the early 20s. So she just was a household helper and
mm-hmm.
took care of us children and sure did watch after us.
Did she?
She was meticulous with our clothes and how we behaved and where we went. And
mm-hmm.
But we went to school and to Sunday school and,
mm-hmm.
and up to our grandfather's. And we didn't do much visiting in those mm-hmm. days. We'd visit cousins and
yeah.
some neighborhood children that would come here and spend the night with us.
Mm-hmm.
We go to their homes once in a while. And that's about the extent of our social life.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason I was just asking questions about you first is I think it'll be, it's interesting to, you know, like, find out about the person, and then, you know, then we'll talk about your years being in high school and things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you, you said that you visited with cousins and things like that. Did your other members of your family live real close around here?
Well, we had, my mom's sister lived, if the neighborhood, people in the neighborhood now know where Dr. Sloan's home is, we, the uncle and aunt and their family lived up in that branch there, mm-hmm. just above the Sloan residence. And we could walk up there after we were large enough that Mom could trust us. Eight, 9, and 10 years old, we mm-hmm. would walk up there, the two of us together, if mm-hmm. we wanted to go spend Saturday night. Or sometimes we'd go home with them from school. They came to the same school mm-hmm. we went to. And once in a while, on Friday evenings, we'd go home with them from school.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this was their grandfather and grandmother, and so they were here quite often.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of them.
Hmm.
And then we had other cousins that lived round and about. They were the ones that were the same ages that we were.
Yeah.
And then we had some that were younger that lived in between. Mm-hmm. They were just neighbors, closer neighbors.
Hmm.
But, and we, of course, we had to kind of play big sister to them when we
yeah.
went to their houses and when they came here.
What was the... What were the roads like? You were talking about you had to dodge mud holes, and or was there much of a road? Or guess what kind of was it? What was it like to have to travel around?
Well, unless you could see it, it'd be hard
yeah.
to explain.
Okay.
But it was just a you know how a garden looks after it's plowed,
mm-hmm.
a road after it's traveled. Of course, it was beaten down.
Mm-hmm.
On the edges usually because people walked and
right.
horses traveled and so on. But in the middle where the wagons and vehicles traveled, it was kind of rutted up and muddy. Sometimes there were mud holes. And you just didn't walk in the middle of the road much.
Uh-huh.
You walked toward the edges.
Yeah.
And the wagons and horseback riders, so on, the horsemen, would go through the mm-hmm. middle of the road. It was narrower than our roads now, most generally.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose most all of our roads back in those days had developed from what had formerly been Indian paths.
I'd say you're right.
And some of it would go right into the road, would run right into the creek bed. And you'd have to travel through that.
Uh-huh.
Of course, when you walked, there was always a little edge around somewhere you could go. You could surround it.
Uh-huh.
That's where we had to go up and climb up over the wire fences and go through the fields sometimes.
Oh, goodness.
To keep out of the creek.
Uh-huh.
But if you were in a wagon or a horseback, you could go right on.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. What was the town of Hindman like then? When you were a teenager, when you were in high school, what was...
Well, to me, it hasn't changed drastically since that. Naturally, the streets were just like the roads out in the country. They were not paved,
mm-hmm.
but somehow they did keep the streets. I think Hindman had clean streets for a little community back at that time.
Yeah.
And we had nice trees along the... And cement walks,
mm-hmm.
And anyway, there were large trees along.
Yeah.
In the summer, I remember it was shady in some places, and very nice. And down in front of the hotels, I remember they weren't elaborate hotels, but
yeah.
they people could stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And the trees were kind of picturesque. I'd say. I remember there was a silver maple that I always remember down in front of one of the places. And then there were large, shady shades.
Uh-huh.
And we had, of course, there was the bridge across left-hand fork, as it ran into the left-hand fork, ran into our main creek.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big bridge. It was right kind of in the middle of the street of town.
Oh, okay.
And the horses would walk across it. You could hear the hoofs resounding.
Uh-huh. Do you remember what sorts of stores were down there then?
Well, it was just they were kind of what you'd call general stores. Mm-hmm. We had the Hicks Lodge. Lige Hicks, as we called him, been our grandparents' neighbor when he was a young fellow,
mm-hmm.
and he had the store right on the corner, just as you start down the main street, coming down from the settlement.
Mm-hmm.
On the corner there was the Hicks store, and it had all the little case up in front, had notions in it, like ribbons and needles and threads and doings like that,
mm-hmm.
and then back, further back was some a little shelf with some dry goods, bolts of materials that people, mothers all made their children's clothes back in those days, and
mm-hmm.
so you could buy your materials there. Then there was another shelf, another side of the store that had shelves that had shoes, and then there was a back room where the any kind of grocery out things were kept.
Okay.
And I suppose maybe a few canned goods in a shelf somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was on down the other side. That was at the corner then, just after you went on across the bridge, there was, we called him Uncle Bob Albergy, his store, and it was practically the same as Hicks's.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went on down further. I don't know how to tell you where it was. It was... kind of opposite, well, not opposite, but the Duke property.
Mm-hmm.
There was, that was the hotel there, Nature Hotel. And then there was a store on past that, and that was Uncle Bill Sturgill's.
Okay.
Everybody was uncle to us, you know,
mm-hmm.
back in those days. They were older people.
Yeah.
Sturgill's, and I remember going to that store. I don't remember too much what was there, except I remember the dry goods part, buying
mm-hmm.
materials to make dresses, but I'm sure it was similar to the others.
Right.
And then on the other side was, of course, there was the Dr. Duke home,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a courthouse, and then there was what we used to call it the company store. It had been put in, started as a company store. A lot of different men owned it. It wasn't owned by an individual.
Okay.
But I think it's where Young's store later, if everybody remembers, ones who are going to remember,
uh-huh.
Young's department store there. Outfit. That's where this, as we called it, the company store was.
Mm-hmm.
And it had more, you know, you could always go there and find things you wouldn't find at the other stores, maybe, but it was... an interesting little place to go to. And then there was a, drugstore in the back of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in connection with some way.
So there were several little stores down there then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then of course the churches were all just down, further on, just a little ways on down
mm-hmm.
there, the church. On the hills, Methodist and down.
Oh, here, let me stop. Mm-hmm. Okay. We were just talking about town, and you described what it looked like down there to me. Was town usually a pretty busy place to go in general, I guess, during the week, or was it more of like a weekend?
No, it'd be just like going over around Alice Lloyd or something like that, generally, because you wouldn't see many people.
Mm-hmm.
You'd see people riding in on horses, and there was a place down the back of the Amberg store where people hitched from out of the county.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kind of a hitching post down there that people went, I guess it's under the back of the big building. Where the horses would be out of the weather, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The saddles would keep dry, and,
mm-hmm.
and the horses would be safe to hitch them up there.
Mm-hmm.
And people who rode into town, that's where they usually left their horses. They'd come out and go up to the courthouse or to the doctor's. We had Dr. Kelly down on the lower, where the Parsonage. Yeah, where the parsonage is. Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Parsonage. That's Dr. Kelly's home. I don't know Hyman now, because I don't go down and look around.
Right.
I just kind of have a general idea of what happened.
It doesn't sound like it's much different, really, the way it's the way it's laid out.
To me, it doesn't look different. When I go down there, I don't see it so different at all.
It doesn't sound like it, not to me. Let's see. Now, I guess we'd talk about your years in school a little bit. And did you just go to the... You went to Hyman in high school, right?
Well, I went when I was in the seventh grade.
Seventh grade, okay. Mm-hmm.
And you mean the teachers that I had then?
Yeah, the ones that... Yeah. Tell me about some teachers you remember from your grade school years.
That year I had... of course, the same ones that I had again then in eighth grade, the next year. Mm-hmm. Seventh and eighth grade, we had Lula Hale and Mrs. Rose Craft and Elizabeth Watts. And I guess that's about... I know I had... we had a music teacher, I guess, but I don't remember.
Okay, that's all right.
Which one she was.
What did Miss Watts teach?
She taught arithmetic. That was what I had in her class, both years, seventh and eighth grade. And Miss Hale taught history and geography, and Mrs. Craft taught English. And I don't know, I guess that's about all we had. Arithmetic and English and math. What else did I don't remember what else would have had. Yeah, seventh and eighth grade. That was mainly.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like the main subjects that you take.
Subjects. And, there were people that lived in the settlement that we had little extra things occasionally, like going out for on the ball field for exercises or play or something like that. Somebody, the visitors in the settlement would take care of things like that. We often had that kind of thing done for us.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a regular teacher for GM then.
Yeah.
At that time. And seems like I had sewing that year. I'm not sure. I believe I did. Mm-hmm. The eighth grade I had.
Okay.
A little class in sewing.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Craft let us have a room up at her house. And Miss Johnson, I think, from out in near Lexington, a lady that was our teacher at that time.
Did you like that class pretty well?
Yes, I liked it. I wasn't so good at sewing. I liked the class.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. So at that time, you walked from home to school?
Walked from home. Well, sometimes, our uncle lived down up Tadpole Hollow.
Okay.
And if it was a real bad evening, we didn't come home.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we knew it was going to be real bad. And so sometimes we'd stay down there for a whole week. Mom would let us go down, and we'd, like on Sunday evening maybe, if it's really bad weather, we'd stay down there through the whole week and then come home on Friday evenings.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you had a place that you could stay.
Sure. Yeah. And an old couple lived up on the hill just this side where the library is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
As you're coming up the road this direction. And not everybody had telephones back then. We didn't have one up the hollow up to Auntie's place.
Yeah.
So we'd stop up there at Uncle Rob's and call and tell Mom we wouldn't be home. this is going to be a bad day. Uh-huh. I mean, bad evening if it was raining. Or,
so you had one at your house, or you would call
someone?
Yeah,
they had one here.
Oh, okay.
And then they had one there. Uh-huh. So we'd stop by there and call.
That was probably good, though, so then you wouldn't get rained on or snowed on.
Yeah, we didn't have to travel so far through the rain. That's quite a little walk from school out, from the school up to and up that hall, but it's better than coming on all the way home up here.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's see, and then in high school, you said you lived for 1 year up at the settlement school?
I stayed 1 year there.
Where did you live at?
I lived at the little girl's house. They had a room for the high school girl, for, you know, just the extra room for the girls who were to help with the little children. And they always had two high school girls stay there in that dormitory room. It was for the big girls. And I wasn't a big girl, but I stayed there anyway. I was in high school at least.
Right.
And my roommate and I helped the house mother with the little children, with the little girls. They weren't so little. They were all big enough to stay away from their mamas, of course. And the girls that stayed there.
What was it like living there?
Oh, it was interesting. We had such a... Our house mother was... She was just such a motherly type of a person. And she was watchful and kind and gentle. But she'd tell us what to do. But she'd speak very sternly to the little girls if they got out of place. But... She just tell us what to do for them, you know, and we'd tell her if we needed help. And we didn't need help much, but it's just incidental. Our work was incidental. We didn't have certain things to do, especially, except to watch if something came up, that some little girls needed something.
Yeah.
That we helped take care of them.
Do you remember your house mother's name?
She was Miss Barton, but I don't
Barton.
Know.
Barton, okay.
I don't know what her... I've forgotten your first. I used to know her first name.
No, that last name is just Barton. As good to have, Barton.
Miss Barton.
And what kind of, what was she like? Kind of, what was her personality like?
Well, as I said a while ago, she was just a gentle, matter of fact, and she was organized, very much so, and. She was very considerate of us two girls, and we liked it. we liked being her helper.
Yeah.
Considering, if I were choosing in the settlement, I'd have stayed with Miss Barton.
Would you?
But I didn't know the others that much, of course. But I liked her.
So what were your duties as her helper? What were some of the things you had to do or were expected to do?
Well, as I said, there was nothing special. We did not have. Getting our lessons, I guess, was the biggest thing we had to do at night.
Yeah.
We had to keep the premises clean. We'd go out with the little girls and help sweep the pathways and place the chairs on the little veranda, the little front there. And then if some of them were sick, we would go into their room and stay with them for a while. And they were, the weekends they were going home, we'd help them get packed to go home. And if they needed help, little girls are always calling for help for something, so we didn't have to hunt for work. But they would, you know, they would call, tell Miss Barton they needed something or other. Or she would see something they needed to have done. Then I had some other work beside that. I worked over at the high school every morning. And after the boys swept the place, but it was left dusty. And two of us girls, I took one of the little girls with me. And we went over and dusted the desks in the high school. The high school was a little log building at that time. It wasn't it wasn't a big high school in those days. I don't know how many we had in the whole school, but I can remember the building wasn't too big. But
yeah.
Anyway, we dusted the desks in the things around about.
Yeah. Was there any other work that you did when you lived there, or that you remember, maybe? Like a specific job, maybe, that you did, or did you ever have to work in the gardens or the flowers or anything?
No, not that. Not that kind. The boys did the flowers and the garden.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, the girls didn't.
Did you ever do any work in the kitchen?
Not that, not then. I was there once for just a little while later, and I did work in the kitchen, mm-hmm. washing dishes, and washing pots and pans. That was just a regular routine.
Yeah. But, I'd say there was always work to do.
Oh, yes, yes. They found work for everybody.
Let's see.
Oh, one thing, we had a big open fireplace, and see, the other girl and I took care of that.
Uh-huh.
We knew about that from our homes,
uh-huh.
how to keep the cinders in place and keep the coal and the wood on the fire and keep the buckets filled with the materials and what, things like that.
Now, let's see. Do you have any memories of, like, different crafts that people worked on? I know that, like, they had the Fireside Industries at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Were you around that much, like the weaving or maybe basket making?
Well, I was in a little class of weaving when I was a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, the looms were all threaded up, ready to go. I don't think we even threaded them up. But we just do a little weaving.
Mm-hmm.
And each of us was given a chance to learn how to follow the pattern and put a few threads in,
mm-hmm.
and weave. And I learned. I knew that before I went, because my grandma had a room here.
She did.
She bowled. I was used to seeing that, but
mm-hmm.
anyway, it's interesting to me to have it with the girls, because
mm-hmm.
I like. And I can remember standing back and letting the other girls go, because I had the chance to do this at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the teacher said, well, now you are supposed to have your turn, same as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
She saw I wasn't going forward, you know, to take my place in line.
Mm-hmm.
And I did weave a little bit on the thing we were supposed to be making at that time. I think it was just about 15 inches, seems like, something like
yeah.
that. Runners for. They used them over at the settlement in the living rooms of the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
Runners that were made there.
Oh.
And the patterns, you know, the woven patterns.
So there was a lot of weaving and things that were just used for everyday use.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about them selling that stuff? Or?
Well, I do know that they got orders from different people in the settlement, and of course Miss Stone, the Fireside, had orders from all over for
really?
Particular items to be made, and they had these community women that worked there.
Okay.
And wove coverlets and wove rugs and
uh-huh.
Runners and pillow tops and things of that kind.
So it was mainly women in the community that worked
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Worked there and did that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear some, like, places that ordered things, maybe?
Well, I know that in Cleveland they ordered quite a bit. And naturally, New York City, Boston, Massachusetts, that was Miss Cobb's home.
Mm-hmm.
She had friends that ordered from settlement, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, just lots of places you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly up east.
Right.
Area, I guess, was the better customers of the Fireside.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they didn't have any trouble to sell anything, I think. They had orders. They were orders ahead, always waiting
yeah.
for something to be made.
Did they do much basket making? Or?
Well, the people, that was another thing was done by people out around
uh-huh.
in the country. I'd say over in on Ball Creek was where the basket weaving mostly came from that I knew about at that time.
Okay.
And then we had one neighbor just up the road here that did some basketry, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know that she did so much for the settlement, but these people over back over in the country who were involved,
mm-hmm.
I remember they all talked about Aunt Cord bringing her baskets,
mm-hmm.
Aunt Cord Ritchie.
Yeah, I've heard of her before.
And some people that she, her acquaintances and neighbors, I think,
uh-huh.
kind of did some. But they sure had the nice baskets there. And,
yeah.
And I don't think they had much trouble to get rid of them when they got them out either.
I'd say not.
Mm-mm.
Was quilting a very popular thing to do? Did people quilt much? Or?
Well, everybody everywhere quilted back in those days.
Yeah.
And that wasn't such an item down there. It was... Just some, but not that much. I know one thing they did was a tufting, making tufted spreads.
What's that? I don't know.
You just kind of the knotted
okay.
design. You know, make a flower out of the kind of like knots of the colors.
Okay.
And they did that, some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And used what we call double. With sheeting,
mm-hmm.
Used unbleached sheeting,
okay.
And they would, of course, have to. A little bit tendency to have wavy hair, and it was white. Well, it was red when I can first remember.
Yeah,
I can remember. Maybe when it was beginning to get a few little streaks of gray, but then, mm-hmm. but then of course, when I last I remember it was her white hair,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of stood just a little bit touchy around her face, you know, gave mm-hmm. her a frame, pretty,
mm-hmm.
and she had a very delicate complexion, blue eyes, and she was Irish, and she was proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
She's always telling little jokes about the Irish people,
yeah.
you know. She was a humorous person.
Mm-hmm.
But yet she was a Christian lady.
Was she?
She was very much so. You got that more from her than it was more. She spilled more of it out than the average teacher does.
Mm-hmm.
But naturally, I had social science and things in her classes,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they have reasons for finding it out. I don't know.
How did she get along with people? What was?
I never heard anybody that didn't like Miss Cobb.
Mm-hmm. I haven't either.
I don't know anybody ever said anything about her.
Yeah.
Miss Watts had favorites. That was her criticism of people.
Right.
Some people were just all right to her, and some she just didn't care about. But you know.
Yeah. Some people are like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she didn't hurt them, but she just didn't take them on.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Like Miss Cobb just about took on everybody, but she had to dismiss somebody. It was very, you wouldn't notice it that she was leaving them out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see, maybe some other important, everybody's important. But other people you remember that were teachers there or that worked there, maybe not even teachers, maybe somebody that worked in the kitchen or just somebody that kind of had a lasting effect on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
Did you know Miss Furman? Was she there?
Miss Furman? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you about the first time where I first got acquainted with Albert.
Oh, yeah, well, you need to tell
me
that.
He was staying at the little
yeah,
house.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Miss Furman, and in the evenings when the bell would ring, the supper bell would ring, Miss Furman would bring her little boys from over there. I told you, you know where Miss Furman's house used to be there, about where the library is, right
okay.
beside the road. And anyway, she'd ring all of the boys, march them down that little walkway, and across that, clear down there, and across that bridge, and over to the orchard house, as we called it then, and up steps and into the dining room. They
mm-hmm.
just kind of almost marked in formation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She'd keep them all together. And I can remember Albert coming skipping along in front of her. See, he was the smallest one in the outfit there.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come skipping along in front of her. Then he'd run back And he'd get a hold of Miss Furman's hand. See, I was, his two sisters were there, and I was kind of real, pretty good friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'd watch their little brother. And I'd see him coming. That's why I remembered that one, because I knew it was their little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd stand there over there on that porch and watch them come. You could see them coming marching. We'd have to stand on the porch until the doors were open to go into the dining room.
Uh-huh.
From all over the campuses, after the little girl's house and so on, we'd have to come and we'd go and stand on the porch until the dining room doors opened.
Okay.
But while we were standing there, I remember seeing Miss Furman and her boys coming marching. But she was, I just don't know how she did it, but she just kept those boys together, and they were just super. When they were in Miss Furman's care, there was nothing went wrong as far as anybody else ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
She had them well under guard, and they respected her, and she respected them, but she respected them with a little paddle if they needed it, I think. Being boys, she'd have
to, I guess. Had to keep them in line, I guess.
Keep them in line, yeah. But she was a highly, highly respected lady in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a book, you know, Miss Perman's book.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one book that I read, I don't know. It's Open Windows. Open Windows, isn't that?
Yeah, Glass Windows.
Glass windows. Yeah. Sure, Glass Windows. They hadn't had glass windows. She's describing the homes. Before they had glass windows, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think if there were any other teachers or people around. Were you in contact with James Steele any?
I wasn't there after he was there.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. You graduated before he came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember, though, when he came, I remember I was working in the store down there at Hyman. He came into the store, and I think he brought me a book. He had one, maybe. Anyway, we were looking at a book. I remember that. One of the new books out or something like that. He was telling people in town. He was dropping into all the stores and getting acquainted with people.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, well, now, the Seventh's never had men folks much, but I think it's a good thing. I remember thinking that and thinking, well, in the library is a good place to start, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was kind of happy to know that he was there, and then when I met him, I thought he had something that would be of help to the settlement, to the boys. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, the boys need some boys on the campus.
Because I guess, were there any men really around, or...?
Not on the campus anyway. Well, we had our high school principal, J.F. Smith, but he lived up there in the craft house.
Mm-hmm.
See, he wasn't in the settlement, wasn't connected with the settlement really, but he was with the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Clark Pratt as one of our teachers, and do I remember anybody? Anyway, nobody that stayed in the settlement that was there. But there were boys in the settlement, and I thought, well, now, this is just what they need.
Yeah.
Somebody in the library, and I thought, there, the library, well, that's a good place to have a man that would lead the boys into the library.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of connected the thought there, you know. I thought,
yeah,
well, that's good.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of the, or have memories of maybe people that worked in the kitchen or cooks from the year you were there, or anybody, just other workers, maybe not teachers or administrators, but people that work there.
Yeah. Let's see. Who did work there when I was there? I don't remember. I remember, I can't think of her name, though. What was her name? She was Combs before she's ever married. Cora, Johnson, Cora Johnson. She was Cora Combs when she was a young girl. She was I don't know if you knew the Brays, Molly Bray.
Uh-uh.
lived right across from, right up from the kindergarten railing. She lived on the hill there. Well, Cora was her sister, but Cora lived down Montgomery or somewhere that direction, I think, mostly at that time. But she worked in the kitchen. And Martha Adams, Martha Fields, she was, to me, she was always Martha Adams. She lived up here when I was a child, you know, when she was a younger person. She was a young person back then, but she had a, at the time I was the settlement, she had a family, but she still come down there. Cora and Martha and Ellen Maggard. But Ellen had, I guess at the time I was staying there, Ellen had moved away before that, but I remember Ellen walking down with us when we walked to school, and she worked down there. She lived there where Not Central is, and she walked down to settlement to work, down to the kitchen, worked in the kitchen.
She worked in the kitchen, too.
The kitchen. And I remember she walked down the road with us sometimes. And, I know, I should remember. Well, did you ever know Elizabeth Waddell? I don't know. They lived right there at the mouth of Tadpole Hollow. That's where the Waddell family lived. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, but she was Elizabeth Hammond, and she was from over Litcar way. But she was, when she was a student, she worked in the kitchen, and then she went back and was supervisor of the kitchen affairs after she was older.
So several people in the community had jobs.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. They always had a crew there, and sometimes somebody worked 6 weeks, sometimes they'd work a month, sometimes they'd work a whole year. And I know there are different ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that if I could just think of the people. But right now, they don't come to mind.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's all right.
That's a few of them.
Yeah, no, that's good. Just to, you know, get a few. It's nice to know their names.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have that.
Yeah. And, of course, I could tell you where they lived.
Well, I think that's pretty good to remember all that. I don't know if I'd be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing I was curious about, we were talking about, I've talked to different people, you know, that lived at the settlement and talked about, I know that everyone ate their meals together. What was that like, kind of having a big dining room and sitting down to supper with
Well, it was just people? Great for me. I don't know. I had talked to some other students that stayed there, and they tell me how they felt and what it was like and how they had to, how they served the things and so on, you know. It's different from what we did in our homes, and understand that. But, I liked it because I can remember Mrs. Keitel, one table that I was, Mrs. Keitel was our high school principal, and she sat at the head of the table, and I just happened to sit at the corner right next to her, and then there were other students down this way. There were eight of us. 10 of us, I guess. No, was it 8? Right now, I can't think whether I believe there was 10 of us at the table, 4 on each side, and then the host and hostess.
Okay.
Mrs. Keitel was set at the head of the table, and Miss Priest, I remember at that time, sat at the other. She was the hostess. And then we had, I don't know if you've ever heard of Virgil Sloan. He used to be a person concerned about the settlement.
Uh-uh.
And he was a very popular young man that stayed in the settlement at that time. And we had at the table that I sat, and Beckham Miller, Gladys Triplett, and and Malcolm Sloan. Malcolm was from over Pippa passed this way, but and I don't, the ones that were down my line, I don't remember, but the ones I could see across the table.
Well, that makes sense.
Mrs. Keitel and Miss Priest. Miss Priest is from Western Kentucky. She was from Henderson County. I guess it's Henderson. Henderson was, anyway, Henderson was what the thing she wore on her sweater, anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, that bunch of my, I mentioned Gladys, didn't I? Because
mm-hmm.
Virgil teased Gladys so much. He's like a big brother, you know.
He teased her?
Teased her. She was about 12 years old, I guess. Mm-hmm. She was the little girl at our table.
Mm-hmm.
And he just aggravated her.
Uh-huh.
They fussed him. It's just fun for the rest of us to hear it. But Mrs. Keel would help them out. She'd straighten it out, you know.
Yeah.
She got a kick out of them. And I believe Elsie Boland was on that, down that side on my side. I don't remember.
Did you sit with those same people usually?
Did
the same group sit together?
The same group sat together a whole semester, I guess.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, then on Sunday nights, we had lined up the chairs. Tables were moved back and the chairs were lined up straight lines up the, and like two, I think it's two lines over here and two lines over here.
Okay.
Facing each other. And then we had the girls that worked in the kitchen. They had girls that helped in the kitchen. I think we were the ones that served the supper.
Mm-hmm.
We brought the sandwiches around. I guess as we went in, we took our big napkins, and then we got in the chair and sat down, and then they'd come around, and so we had a little snack on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we always sang some little, you know, appropriate song. Now the day is over, night is drawing nigh, shadows of the evening steal across the sky. That was one that we sang.
Uh-huh.
And just, you know, just something like that. Uh-huh. And of course, I forgot, just naturally, we always had blessing at each meal.
Uh-huh.
And I think when we, yeah, I remember one lady, Miss Morrison, that was there. I remember that she gave the, she said the blessing most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to think who else was there at that time that would have been remembered. In my class, there was my cousin, Beth Pigman, and there was Sheldon Maggard. Beecher Allen was from over Hueysville.
Mm-hmm.
Beecher was from.
These were people in your class?
Or in my class.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think it was the boys. And then the girls, Seba Stamper and Grace Ritchie, May Bailey, Dosha Fugit. And I guess I'm leaving out somebody.
Do you remember about how big was your graduating class? Do you remember?
There were 18.
18 people?
Mm-hmm. We had a big class. That was a big class. Eh?
Was it?
When, just before us, there were 12.
Mm-hmm.
And in Alma's class, there were 7.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, there were other numbers all in between in all those years. But that's the ones I happen to remember.
Yeah.
But, there were 18 of us.
Mm-hmm. What was graduation like? The ceremony or...
Well, we all sat on the stage, and I guess the girls sat on the front row, and the boys sat on the back row, and then the different ones gave their different little speeches, and girls all wore We were supposed to make our own dresses, but I didn't make mine. But anyway, I had a white dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a speaker from the town, usually Mr. Smith, I guess. I'm pretty sure he spoke at our graduation. He did most of them.
Okay.
Mr. Hillard Smith. He was a lawyer and was a father and a citizen and an active person in the town. So he usually spoke at the graduation exercises. And then, of course, all the seniors. I didn't give a speech at the final. We had to give our speeches at different times. But they picked out special ones to do at the finals, appropriate for the, more for the services, I guess.
Yeah.
I wrote about Knott County, what I know about Knott County.
That's what you gave your speech on?
Pardon?
That's what you gave your speech on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And Alma was showing somebody a picture of Uncle George and Aunt Jane Childers, the two old people, the oldest citizens of the town, of course. Mm-hmm. Lived at the back of Beckham Combs' place up in that territory. Where they, anyhow, I went over to their place and got pointers on history of the county.
Well.
And Alma was showing somebody Aunt Jane's picture the other day, and I said, well, she gave me my pointers for my for my senior speech.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we had, there were maybe four or five of them gave their speeches at the real graduation.
At the graduation.
Yeah. And of course, we marched in. Kind of like a bridal march, but you know, what is it they use it? What do they call that?
Pomp and circumstance.
Pomp and circumstance, yeah. Yeah, I even forgotten the name.
I don't know why I remembered it. Probably because I've been to so many graduations this year.
Yeah. Anyway, we marched in to twos and twos.
Uh-huh.
And we came up and always had graduation exercises in that old elementary building. And we'd come up the stairs on different lines, you know, and then you'd come together. And just before you get to the little three steps up to the final platform, then you'd come in through the big doors and march across and up the main aisle, and then separate and then go up on the stage and sit in your chair.
Well, that sounds neat.
It's kind of, and Alma said the other day, she said, I haven't seen a graduation in ever. she'd like to see one like we used to have, you know, she said, with the dignity and the performance of everything, and just the kind of reverence for everything like it used to be. It was just so quiet you couldn't hear a pin drop. Everybody just step in the music, and then everybody sit down, and nobody moved, and nobody, you better not have to clear your throat.
Well, I guess you're expected to be on your best behavior then.
Oh, you sure you are. I see Mrs. Kiesel and Miss Watts and Miss Cobb, and all those were from up in the elegant country, and you're around in Massachusetts, somewhere up that way. So they led the show, and so everybody went along with them.
So they're the ones who implemented the
all
that. Mm-hmm, oh, okay,
yes.
I didn't know
we
that.
We had Miss Parker there. That's when I was in the 7th and 8th grade. She died, the year I was in the 8th grade. Mm. Poor human. She got sick at vacation time, Christmas vacation, and she died. And they had to get another. That's how come Mrs. Kiesel there. Mrs. Kiesel was teaching a little kind of a community outfit out up Leburn.
Well.
And she came in to take Miss Parker's classes. That year, it was just all sudden, and you couldn't make any plans, but Mrs. Kiesel was certainly a great help to be able to step in and take over.
Yeah.
She was a large woman, and she had kind of a bearing, but she was, you know, she could make friends with anybody, but she put them in her place, too.
And that was Miss Kiesel?
And Mrs. Kiesel.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Miss Parker was quite a elegant lady.
Mm-hmm.
But she sure had had things in hand. And everybody in town stepped to Miss Parker's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was respected very much. She roomed up at the hospital. You know where the is the hospital there now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where she had her room up at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened to her. I've forgotten just what it was.
Yeah,
I think it was just something kind of a hemorrhage.
That's awful. Just,
mm-hmm. And of course, you know, in the winter here, and before the day of automobiles, there was no way of getting her out to a doctor at that time.
Yeah.
But she didn't last long enough. I think actually found out she was sick to get to a doctor.
That sounds like it. That's mm-hmm. awful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I've asked you about graduation and people you remember. One thing that I've been interested in is, what was Christmas like? Was that a pretty big deal at the settlement school? Or?
Oh, well, I think I wasn't there at the Christmas season, seems like. Right, really. But I know, of course, when you went to school there, you talked to all talked to the students. You heard a lot about what went on at the settlement. But the children, they had their Christmas. I know they were always given lots of gifts mm-hmm. before they were let go home at mm-hmm. Christmas. Nice things that people, friends of the school, sent in. Bunches of stuff, of course.
Right.
Children were given nice things. But then we always had the Christmas program. That's for the town and for school generally.
What was that like?
Well, it was certainly a good Christmassy stories.
Mm-hmm.
That we had, and people they practiced and were so concerned and had mm-hmm. special people in special parts, and they had a Christmas tree on the big stage and all the decorations and
mm-hmm.
tinsel and the this, that, and the other, and the star and what have you. And it was really interesting. To us, it was breathtaking
mm-hmm.
that time. It was very good.
And so that was for everyone to come to?
Everyone. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we always had programs at Easter. And I remember I was there at Easter, and then we had the service in the Sunday afternoon for the settlement, for the school.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave the program then.
What sort of things would y'all do during an Easter program?
It was mostly singing.
Singing?
Mm-hmm. And I suppose I'm sure there were other things, but that's what I remember, because that's what I remember having to practice with the Glee Club for the Easter program.
Were you part of that?
Glee Club.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
What sorts of things did y'all do in the Glee Club?
Well, we just sang. And sometimes we'd have programs and we'd sing. We'd get on and we'd sing from the stage. Sometimes we'd just get in a group in the front of the audience and so on, but... we gave special, I guess we gave special programs for like at Thanksgiving, we plowed up the, and scattered the good seed on the ground. But it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Is that the Thanksgiving one?
That sounds like it to me.
Well, I remember that and singing that one. And then at Easter we sang, what do you sing at Easter? My goodness sakes. Can't think now.
I'm not sure. Sounds like y'all kept busy though. And
oh, yeah, there was something all the time. Then we had our the home ec classes for 7th and 8th grades in high school, all different classes in high school. And boys had their woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then after graduation exercises were over, out the kindergarten, the things that had been made by the students were on display at the kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the folks in Heinemann were around the neighborhood were especially interested in what the boys had made at the workshop. Pieces of furniture.
Oh, okay.
Like little end tables and sometimes really tables. And even some made bed, the whole bedstead. Some made bureaus.
Hmm.
But at times, at different, that's the one I remember at different times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just rocking chairs. Anything you'd build in a,
yeah.
at a workshop, at a
mm-hmm.
carpentry shop.
Mm-hmm.
And Rube Morgan, one of the Morgan boys, was for a long time was the shop director.
Okay.
And then Jethro Ambergy,
mm-hmm.
was there for a long time. His wife, by the way, was my weaving teacher. Mrs. Albert, he was my weaving teacher, and he was teaching the shop work at that time.
Well,
so when we had demonstration, had the exhibits at the kindergarten, we had both of their products there, the weaving and the things were on display, you know, that had been made.
What sorts of things did you learn to do in that home ec class that you're talking about?
Oh, we just learned to cook mainly, and we had to. Learn how the proper way to serve,
mm-hmm.
and then we had to be a guest at a dinner. We were the guest at a dinner, and then we had to be the hostess at a dinner and invite, you know, have someone there, and you had to.
That's neat.
I remember once we were going to have the dinner, and I was hostess, and I had asked Gertrude Smith, you know Elizabeth's sister, older one, Gertrude, and I was going down that morning, and her mother just happened to come out on the porch or something as I was going by. She said, "Now I want you to watch Gert today. Don't let her eat too much." Gert had told her mother that she was. was going to be my guest that day.
Uh-huh.
I thought, well, I'm getting around.
They were talking about you.
They're talking about me.
Okay, let me stop this. All right, we got all that worked out. I had a few more questions. Tell me about some of the, maybe some of your friends or people that you remember from your time at the settlement school. Maybe like a best friend or somebody you spent a lot of time with when you were a girl.
You mean while I was at the settlement or just when I was just in the school?
Just when you were in school.
Well, my best friend was the one I was the closest with was Lake Napier. And they had the Napier Hotel in the, it's just off the hill from the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's there now. And yeah, that's where I went to visit. We went to I mean, that's the one home in Hindman that I did spend some time, uh-huh. You know, when I'd go to even to the store or go to town for something, or if I wanted to have a lapse between times or something, I'd go out there to their house. Or, uh-huh. Anyway, Lake was, she was in my class the first year. I was in seventh grade, and we kind of got acquainted, and so we studied together some. And uh-huh. She was my special friend and all through high school. From the seventh grade on.
Yeah.
And but then I knew other people. There were so many of them in town.
Yeah.
Lena Sturgill was a large girl, and see, I was the smallest girl in the class. Mm. They called us Mutt and Jeff. And just for fun, we would march, like when we had to come from the high school up to the chapel, grade school, mm-hmm. on Fridays when we had our joint meetings, we'd march together lots of times from down to high school up there. Mm-hmm. They called us Mutt. Of course, somebody's always hollering Mutt and Jeff or something. But anyway, we enjoyed that. We studied together. We could get along good studying, working out our arithmetic and mm-hmm. studying our English and what have you, mm. at recess time or sometimes mornings when we first go for school or something.
Yeah.
And I just liked everybody in my class. And then the year that I stayed at the settlement, my roommate was Dosha. She was mm-hmm. in that class.
Yeah.
Too. And
did you get along with her pretty well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got along good. But of course, she couldn't come out in town, and I couldn't see her except the year that I was there, year that I roomed with her. Mm-hmm. Other times I'd go to town, like evenings after school, I'd be seeing. They called her as Lena was called Boots. I'd see Boots sometimes down mm-hmm. in town, but anyway, I just knew everybody, and I liked all of them. Mm-hmm. And Siva Stamper was a sweetie. She was outgoing. Mm-hmm. She was a very pretty little girl. She was from over the door. Mm-hmm.
So what sorts of things would maybe y'all do together when you were with your friend in town, or maybe just things that girls would do then?
Well, Lake's mother had the hotel, so we washed dishes. We baked mm-hmm. pies, and we did things like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'd have a little spare time. She played the piano, and she'd play, and I'd sing with her, and so things like that. Mm-hmm. She'd come up here, we'd go to the hills, see what we could get her up, mountain tea, mm-hmm. chestnuts, beech nuts, hickory nuts, whatever. Go and get her. When Granny's turkeys got lost, we went to hunt them and bring them in, things of that kind, mm-hmm. what we do here on the farm. She'd come up here and stay some time. Hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think now the Day family, I don't know if you've ever heard of those people, Kel Day and Catherine Ritchie Day, uh-uh. Kel and Catherine, they live down there just across, I don't know Hindman now. Across the creek. Oh, I guess you know where Carly Hall's home was. Mabel and Carly. You don't mm-hmm. know. Down the road, just past, going out of the main street, Hindman, mm-hmm. and across the creek on the left, cross over that way, is where Kel and Catherine live. Mm-hmm. And they let Lake, my friend, have a senior party at their house one time. Mm-hmm. And Catherine, see, Lake's mother was one of the richest, related to Jean Ritchie's family, you know. Uh-huh. And Catherine was one of them.
Okay.
Kel's wife. So they told Lake she could have a party at their uh-huh. house. Of course, her mother couldn't have us there at the hotel place.
Right.
And we had a good time. We made old pulled candy and moved the things back in the dining room, had a square dance, and just had a lot of fun. That was our senior That was our big doings for our senior class that year, I think. Uh-huh.
Did y'all go to many square dances or have square dances a lot in town? Or
No, not really. Not really. Mm-hmm. Not often. Just now and then, people mm-hmm. did that. And, that got going when Top of the Hill came in fashion. You know, they called it Top of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Jones Fork Hill. That was the three-way, what do they call it? Blue Moon Cafe.
Was up there.
That was what was on Top of the Hill. Yeah, they had, that's where the dancing of Hindman area and that part took place.
Mm-hmm.
Up there. But, of course, us girls didn't get to go there.
Right. Well, let's see. I've probably about talked your ear off, but I'm trying to see if I've left anything out. Do you think there were many changes in the settlement school from the time you started going there, from the time you graduated, maybe changes?
I would say not too much. Whatever changes were in the settlement mm-hmm. was slow and gradual because you'd hardly be aware of it.
Yeah.
Because they had very strict rules. And it was. I think it's very good they kept them that way.
Right.
We thought some of the children, not the children that stayed there, were under mighty strict supervision, but
uh-huh.
that's all right. They had to be.
Mm-hmm.
You take that many youngsters from other people's children from all over the territory around. I can see why the authorities would want to make sure that things were kept in order,
mm-hmm.
and straight doings. And yeah. they didn't vie for changes too much. They just accepted things as they were and built in on what they had. And, mm-hmm. in a constructive way, and just kept going, mm-hmm. going along. As I see it, I don't remember particular changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what did you do after you graduated? What did you do after that?
Well, I went to Berea the first year after okay. I graduated, mm-hmm. and then that year and then when I came home, I stayed out the next year and taught the little school right up here.
Mm-hmm.
My little. Where I started the school, I started my teaching career.
Uh-huh.
And I taught that year there. And then after that, I went over to Alice Lloyd. Alice Lloyd had come on the map at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were accredited. So I went over there. Then after my school was out of here, mm-hmm. went to Alice Lloyd. Next year then, I went to a little school back over in the county. Some of the other students in the community maybe been needing a job, so I kind of stepped aside. I didn't go back for this one up here again.
Oh, okay.
I went over there. Near the lake. It was called the Spider School at that time. Spider was the post office.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time I went up to going back to Alice Lloyd. Yeah, I went back over there, and then after school was out, I could go for the next semester in spring term mm-hmm. over there. And then I went to up the mountain over at Mallet, that school there. I taught that one year. Then went back to, then I went, that's when I went back to Berea, and I stayed at Berea until I had finished then.
Okay.
It was about a little more than, let's see, it was about a year and a half, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went there and stayed. Yeah, I went for the second semester in that year. I stayed that semester, that next summer school, the whole next year, and the whole next summer at Berea before I took off anymore. Mm-hmm. I'd saved my money so that's why I could stay there that long.
So it was important to you, I guess, to
oh yes
to keep going.
Keep going. And then after that, went back to No, the first year out there, I went down in Bell County. Happened, this classmate of mine had started a school, so she had was expecting, and she had to stop teaching, so she called me that year, and I went and about 5 or 6 months of her school that I taught down there, down in Bell County. That was my first year back from Berea.
Sounds like you stayed busy.
I did. Well, in the meantime, when I first got back from Berea that fall, Mrs. Lloyd hollered for me right at the start, and I went over there. But then measles broke out, and she had to close the school down, so I was here at home with not a thing to do. And then this friend, a classmate from Bell County, called me down there. So I went down there. And then I just found it about. And I got in the... excuse me. I was teaching on the head of Salt Lake. And let's see, a friend of my husband's. I got married in the time of it. a nephew of my husband came up there one day in a big truck, said they want a teacher down to Garrett. And I didn't know, you know, I just wasn't expecting. I didn't know what to do, but I just up and made the decision. It was high school. I could teach in high school. And so I got down there, and I stayed there for 5 years at Garrett High School. And then, let's see, I come back up to Mousie. We moved, we got a, we built a house up at Mousie. We thought that was kind of the center of going and coming, you know.
Right, right. Because you've been to so many different places.
And then I talked to Mousie. Year or two there, I don't remember now exactly how long it did. I lived there and lived among people. That's why it was my time in the schoolhouse. I don't remember exactly. And then 1 year they had a loss of a teacher over at Best, and I wanted an English teacher. So I thought, well, now I need to renew my English, and I need and I they need a teacher. So I went over there that year.
So you've taught all over?
All over. All over the county,
Well, that's pretty neat.
But I liked every place. I don't know. The people were just, I guess, living here with my grandparents. See, I lived here with my grandparents and old-timey uncles and aunts and so on. And then my other grandparents, my dad's parents, lived next farm up here, you know. So I had them and their old-timey doings. And you go out over this county, I found the same thing everywhere I went. And it wasn't such a big problem for me, as little as I was, to handle it. You know, I liked it. People treated me good.
Well, that's good.
That was all I'd asked for.
Yeah.
And I still have a lot of feelings and a lot of thoughts for all those communities. And when I meet with me here, tell us some of the people, I sit up and listen.
Well, I don't blame you. That's that's interesting to have that many experiences.
But it is. And I said, well, the Lord had surely been good to me and to Al and me both. Because it looked like that things were against our mother. 20 years old, left with two babies, you might say. But she brought us here, and our grandparents and the folks just took us on, and we just grew. We like the little topsy-turvy. We just grew. But we enjoyed it all. We had a good Sunday school up here, one thing. And good,
that
good, little mission work. It was in our community here for a while. It was here now before the First World War. It had always been good Sunday school since my grandma had had her family here. I mean, I don't know how good a Sunday school, but if it's a Sunday school at all, it's good. It's better than not having one, of course. And they'd always had that kind of help for. For raising children. And now I look back and I think, what would this community have been if we hadn't had that Sunday school? We went to school, but then you didn't get contact with neighbors like you did when the mothers and daddies were all together at the church. And so we had that up there until...
Yeah, that is good that you had that opportunity.
And... But it may certainly it helped me when I went to Berea, because that is a Christian-oriented school, of course, and we had to study Bible and so on, and I hadn't have had those little Sunday school classes and stories and all that. I'd have been in real bad shape studying old Dr. Walker's history of religion.
That's hard stuff to remember, I know. Well, I guess I just have one more question for you, unless there's, if there's anything you feel I've left out, you can tell me. My final question is, how important has it been to you, to your education and your opportunities that you got from going to school up at Hyndman, you lived there for a year, but just the education that you got from there, what has that meant to you?
Oh, well, the book learning was one thing. It was good. I'd say we did have some superior teachers, I think, at that time. Mm-hmm. Not that I learned all that I was supposed to, but I certainly couldn't criticize the teachers, knowing teachers over the years as I do, and what I did as a teacher, and how hard it is to do that for individuals. I think we had some wonderful teachers. And naturally, that was a great help. It is day by day by day by day you find that those things are helpful and are great to have in your background.
Right.
And then the association and the type of leadership that we had was just beyond imagination in this territory, as it might have been without it. Mm-hmm. It's how I see it. I think it was great. And I know, well, I guess I heard it commended by my mom and my granny and my granddad and all the folks. Mm-hmm. They were all, appreciative of what was being done. Now and then you got somebody down there that was way off key, but you know they'd be handled some way or another. Yeah. You didn't worry about it. And somebody in town would have it, take care of it. But most of the time, I'd say such a for that many people, it was unbelievable to have the results that we had. And I think it was just the good Lord's mercy and His helping hand that got us those people.
Yeah.
It was, well, it started out as the WCTU, Women's Christian Temperance Union, and of course the Christian theory still was held on to all through it.
Right.
Well, one thing that I do remember that I thought was that I appreciated a lot was the fact that we did go to Sunday school from down there, that as a group, from our house, and all the students you went to whichever Sunday school you liked. You went to the Baptist or to the Methodist, whichever you wanted to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have our Bible study at Settlement too. Sunday nights was Bible class. Sunday night. And that's what little children over this territory around didn't have.
Right.
I said, most of us didn't know how to even find the scriptures. We wanted to find it. We wouldn't know how to go about finding it until we had some help like that. I had my stories and things in the little Sunday school classes in the church, but I didn't really have Sunday school. It helped scripture study like we had there, which helped. That with numbers of things. I guess if I started mentioning, I'd just keep on, but the advantages.
Wow.
There are lots. And the togetherness of the community it helped about that a great deal, I'm sure now. Looking back, I can see that.
Okay.
Our community was together on things, and if something you needed to have done, they could push forward and accomplish what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there anything that I've left out maybe or haven't asked you that you think would be important about the settlement school? Or?
Well, one thing, if you couldn't pay your tuition, you could go back through the summer and work and pay your tuition.
Okay. How did you pay to go there that one year when you lived there?
I stayed in the summer.
You stayed in the summer?
Mm-hmm. We washed down walls, did whatever the... I worked at a hospital. We cleaned the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of us girls they had. Girls out of town mainly came in to mm-hmm. work. But Dosha and I both stayed that. My roommate, little girl's house. We both stayed that summer.
So that's how you paid your way through?
And I paid my tuition. Mm-hmm. Of course, my other expenses, my mom and them had furnished other things.
Right.
My clothes and my books and what have you. But... tuition that I owed, I stayed and paid that.
Hmm.
So that was an advantage for our country children.
Mm-hmm.
And for mothers that didn't have any way to pay for their children's tuition, there were lots of single mothers. And this Al Stewart's family, see, their mother passed away and left them children.
Mm-hmm.
With nobody to really look after at home, and their dad brought them over to the settlement. Of course, he was just an old farmer, country man, but anyway, I don't know what his occupation was now, but anyhow, he managed to kind of support the children, and then mm-hmm. some of the older members of their family. One daughter lived in Detroit, I believe, at that time, Chicago, somewhere. Anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right.
She helped with the children, I'm sure. But all in all, it was helpful that they could stay and they'd be given mm-hmm. chores to help on the campus through the summer.
Yeah, you know? So even if you didn't have money.
If you didn't have money.
You could still come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's interesting.
I better quit thinking.
Okay, I'll turn this off then.